Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There's a lot of 5'9", you know, pocket rockets.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
God bless John Harris, man.
He's the best.
So this is the thing. You guys know John Harris a lot better than I do. I'm getting to know him a little bit better. He's got a good sense of humor, right?
Oh, like, yeah. Right, he'll love that.
Oh, 100.
Right, he'll love that.
If he was listening to the segment right now, he's probably belly laughing.
He probably is.
He wouldn't call us some jackass on the radio.
Well, nah, probably some other people.
In the media? What was he saying? In the media? In the radio.
Yeah, some in the media.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, radio is media, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I think he was talking about somebody else.
No, he was.
This wasn't us.
Maybe. Yeah. It could be. All right, let's go around the NFL. And I want to start here. George Atala, who works with the NFL Players Association, they put something out recently saying that 75 to 80% of players respond to, you remember the NFL report card, NFLPA report card survey? And I found this interesting because that was a question that was out there. It's like, oh, this is interesting, but I wonder how much. They were willing to put out a specific kind of number. He said, quote, we just had about 75 to 80% of response from players, and so you can't say that it's not scientifically accurate. In fact, the opposite's true. It's almost a census-like approach that the Players Association was taking, and the credibility of the survey was bolstered even more, and there were experts behind the scenes who were running the survey. It's not J.C. Treader or, you know, just individual people going on a project. This is basically speaking to the veracity of what they do. Mm-hmm. And all of this seems to be in direct relation or in direct opposition to Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, who was the only owner, mind you, that received an F. Mm-hmm. He had come out when these things had come out or when he had an opportunity to be asked about it at the league meeting saying they were totally bogus. Mm-hmm. He said that the whole thing was bogus. He said he took issue with how they collected information, all that, so on and so forth. Like, Woody Johnson, this doesn't help you at all, right? Like, this is not going to help you in your endeavor to be a better team.
I'm glad he came out with the kind of the facts and the research behind it, because this is in direct response to Woody Johnson, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, you know, hey, this is what we do. I think it's a reaction to what Woody Johnson said, which was ludicrous. And by the way, even if it was more of a scientific survey, which scientific surveys can be as little as 1 or 2% of a population, you know, especially like polls and stuff.
Yeah.
But generally, you like to get a good 10%, and that'll kind of reflect. This was 75 to 80?
Yeah.
That's impressive that they did it like that, you know?
And I think what it speaks to is just how strong of a tool this has become for the Players Association. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen teams actively, one, promise changes, and then two, actually make changes.
Yeah.
And I kind of love it, considering that the team owners typically have been able to, you know,
message the way that they want to and hold a lot of power. It's one of the things that I think people bang on the NFLPA about is, oh, y'all don't stand your ground when it comes to bargaining situations and y'all get beat over the head. I kind of like this as a maybe not specifically a bargaining chip, but something that they can utilize to wrangle back a little bit of power from owners, because we've seen even the Texans, like, they're bringing back the sauna behind the Players Association. Well, I don't know if that's exactly what it was, but I mean,
it kind of was.
It's a fair line to draw, and we've seen other owners operate in a place where they go, okay, this is an opportunity for me to be better at meeting my players' needs. I just kind of love that Woody Johnson over there not doing that. Only thing I hate that for is Aaron Glenn, who steps into that place. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, your owner is actively like making it harder for you to do your job, man.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was going to say. Even if it were just 5 to 10% of the players, as an owner, shouldn't that still get your attention? You know, if this was 75 and 80, it absolutely should get your attention, and you should not say it was, quote, totally bogus, as he said. You should react to it, and I think you're 100% right. If I'm Aaron Glenn, I'm like, man, what have I gotten myself into here? You know?
Well, I mean, I feel like he knew that the opportunity from Jets, but the only problem is that there's what did David Culley say?
There's only 32 of them.
That's right. That's right. And so you might have to take the one with the owner who gets an F and goes, nope. Clearly, someone graded this wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't fail this test. Mm-hmm. Someone else messed up. But yeah, it's good. Best of luck, Eric Glenn. That's not fun to have to be in that circumstance. We continue around the NFL, and I take you to this. John Gruden, as we've established, is Sean Pendergast's best friend, and apparently he really rocks with Migos and an NBA young boy. That's right. And with all of that, he has an interesting comparison, and this goes to show for me why I don't love player comps, because they can put you in tough places. He has a player comparison for Will Howard, the Ohio State graduate who's going into the draft.
He's drinking the Kool-Aid.
And maybe it's because Will Howard put him on the NBA Youngboy, so we wanted to make sure to big up him. How do you like this as a comparison, as a comp for the quarterback, Will Howard? Josh Allen. With a big dual threat quarterback, right? And that's what he talked about. He said the comp is MVP of the league, Josh Allen. Real deal dual threat. You guys are the same size, man.
Well, part of me hates it.
He must be smoking on whatever Migos and NBA Youngboy
well,
is smoking
on. Well, we know what they're smoking on. Part of me hates it because I feel like Josh Allen is becoming the modern day Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady was picked in the sixth round. There's a big quarterback that didn't have great percentage numbers in high school. You know, that Anthony Richardson could be Josh Allen. You know, that Will Howard could be Josh Allen. Now, to be fair, Will Howard was better by a long shot than Anthony Richardson. But it's just unfair. But I get it, especially from Gruden, but I think that Josh Allen is going to be like the outlier that everybody starts talking about like that.
And it was evident early on that that was what was going to happen here, because he was the magic trick, man. He was the dude that was not accurate that all of a sudden became accurate. Yeah. That was something that historically you did not see happen with quarterbacks. And I knew, like, hey, this is going to find – you're going to find yourself in a place where a lot of dudes get fired behind trying to pull that same magic trick again. Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson is the big one to talk about, because he very much was in that same place of, oh, this is a lot of tools. And this is raw clay that we can mold. And, hey, you probably want it to be more molded than you've been in to this point. But I feel like that's kind of unfair to Will Howard, man. Now there's a level of expectation there that I don't think is fair. Like, I don't know how much more you're going to wring out of Will Howard. And even if there is that to wring out of him, it's not an easy thing to do. So, man, more power to folks as we continue to get closer to this 2 weeks out from the NFL draft. And it does seem like people are really going to get themselves into places, twist themselves into pretzels to take players that I don't know that they need to in places that I'm not sure that they
get
should.
Get them in the first round.
Well, go ahead and do like that. And push the players down to the Texans.
If you feel like that's Josh Allen, get them in the first
round.
That's
the thing. It's not just like a big, successful quarterback. It's Josh Allen. I mean, MVP, all this other stuff.
Nah, go ahead. In fact, you know what? My bad. I was going the wrong way. Teams, especially teams with picks 24 and lower, go ahead and look at that. There's a quarterback there for you. Go ahead and take that for you and push more players down to the Houston Texans. Man. All right. We mentioned Anthony Richardson. Let's go to Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians, a very, very good coach. All right. I did use the word legendary. Is that too far?
Not in terms of his persona. Like his, like just as a guy, I think he's a legendary.
But coach. You wouldn't say as a coach?
As a coach, no.
I would say legendary in the NFL circles.
Yeah, just as a guy, as a character.
Because if you could ask a lot of NFL players, they'd probably say he is a legend. But as far as like overall, like comparing to other coaches, say nah.
Yeah,
Rick Hall, very good, very very good offensive coach, and has had a very good eye for quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And so you do not take it with a grain of salt. You do not take it lightly when he says something like this about a fellow AFC South player, Anthony Richardson.
Anthony, I think, needed two more years of college. You know, as a passer, not as an athlete. He's a great athlete. But as a passer, I didn't see him coming out being able to beat anybody in 2 minutes third down. And that's where you win in the NFL. If you can't win third down in 2 minutes, you're just an average guy. And I don't care how good you run. You don't run the ball in 2 minutes. As a quarterback, you throw it. And you command the game. I think his growth this year is going to be huge. If he can't make it, the growth that I think he can make, and put the I think he's going to put the work in. He's got a great reputation as a hard worker. So Daniel pushing. Daniel's going to really push.
Except when he taps his helmet to come out a third down. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's only.
No, that resonates. You mentioned it. Forget head coach. Just as an offensive mind, as a quarterback guru. You take what Bruce Arians says seriously, you know?
I mean, I do, and I find it interesting that he kind of put a little bit more of a timeline. I guess we probably all could look at it that, hey, you guys already went off, you know, you went off on the opportunity to draft him, and you're putting your eggs in that basket. There's only so long that you can ride with that particular decision. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was to be understood, but the idea that this is the year, man, this is the year to put it together. Bleeper, get off the pot is basically what Bruce Arians is saying. I do appreciate that he threw in there. I think he can do it. I think he can do it. But the idea that this is the year for him to do it, you feel Daniel Jones is the one to push him?
Well, no, but I mean, I think it is going to be a competition.
Which probably says less about Daniel Jones than...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's tough. All right. Some more things around the NFL. Ian Rappaport, NFL Media, said that the Steelers interviewing Shedeur Sanders was as much about sending a message to Aaron Rodgers as getting more intel on Sanders. You believe this?
I do. I could see.
I thought they weren't worried about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that was last week, right? Yeah. That was last week. Hey, no problem.
Sound a little worried to me.
Yeah, we're confident. That was one of the buyer sells last Friday, I think. No, I do believe that. I mean, people are just sick of him if he wasn't so good, you know? And they're like, all right, well, and not only, I think it's both things. I think it's a message to Aaron Rodgers, we're ready to move on. And then also, hey, if we're ready to move on, you know, we have to look at this quarterback.
I don't. Do you feel like they're ready to move on? I think it's probably more of, hey, man, we would like to know so we can make plans. Because I do think that they could still be in very much a place where they have Shedeur and Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Like, I still think that that's very much a possibility because it's not like Aaron Rodgers is there for a good long time. Now, for me personally, if you're going to do to the Aaron Rodgers thing, you probably want to just...
Yeah.
I don't know that I want Shedeur Sanders because mm-hmm. I've talked about it. I think that there's a particular ceiling on how high and how good of a quarterback he could be. And at that point, you might as well just wait and see if you can find a better quarterback and have that the fullness of that rookie contract with him. But yeah, like I...
Maybe just a different way of saying the same thing.
Possibly.
Like, hey, we're ready to move on, but we'll take you. You know, like what you're saying is we need you, but if we're not going to get you.
Yeah, but we got to do something here, man. We got to do something.
It seems like they just kind of checking all their boxes right now because right now, currently, who's their quarterback?
Mm-hmm. What is it? Is it Mason Rudolph at this
Mason
point?
Mason Rudolph, mm-hmm. yeah. So I think that's smart to kind of bring in these different quarterbacks to kind of see everything because that is a need right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't really love the way that the Steelers have gone about their team building of late, which is kind of crazy because they felt like they had been a stalwart of team building. Mm-hmm. They had been one of those teams that you look at and they go, they have their way of executing things and they do that to the best of their abilities and they constantly come out here with
and
a good team.
And it works. Yeah.
Feels like that's starting to fall apart for them.
As Figgy said, it's just weird. They've kind of gotten out of their skin a little bit lately.
Yeah. Speaking of falling apart in some ways, Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Like, what is happening with old boy here, right? Like, I am having real concerns about the wide receiver who then, you know, starts acting up in a big way. And I know Tyreek Hill has always had various, off-field things that come up for him. But here's another one. As Tyreek Hill, the police was called on him. Mm-hmm. They were called to a domestic dispute is what it was called Monday. No charges were ultimately filed, but yes, this was a Sunny Isles Beach Police Department, a place that I had not heard of until today, or yesterday, rather. But yeah, officers responded to a call from Hill's mother-in-law, who told them that Hill was, quote, very aggressive and impulsive, and that she was afraid for her daughter. Obviously, her daughter being Hill's wife, Keita Vaccaro. They got in an argument. Apparently, he threw her laptop on the floor, and he grabbed their four-month-old daughter and then headed to the balcony of their 35th floor apartment in Miami. I don't know, or in that Miami area. I don't know what that then implies beyond that. Ultimately, they said that it was not physical. However, and this is the thing that's always uncomfortable about this, officers noted a visible bruise on Vaccaro's chest. Mm-hmm. Like, these are always the very uncomfortable places where you end up in a place. And I, this is why I'm always very careful about talking, or I try to be at least very careful about talking about like these domestic disputes and of sort of such, because I don't know that you get the opportunity for a potential victim to be like fully honest because of the mm-hmm. circumstances, because mm-hmm. of the closeness, because of the opportunity of like I guess retribution mm-hmm. or the feelings that of attachment that are still there. Yeah. Right, they love that person, they don't want to see them be harmed by, you know, the consequences of what could be their actions there. Right, so I just look at Tyreek Hill and I go, dude, like, how are you in this circumstance again, especially with all of the things that you've been through in your career?
Well, that's it. We were defending Tyreek Hill. Remember when he got pulled over and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And just kind of reading that situation and the video, et cetera. But there's just too much smoke, man. I mean, there's just smoke around him all the time. And I mean, just all the time.
The thing that's uncomfortable mm-hmm. is also like, this feels like it fits with a more recent pattern. And this is, I'm doing a little reaching here, and I mm-hmm. recognize that. Feels like it fits in with a little bit pattern of erratic behavior for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All the time.
Yeah, but yeah. even recently where, yeah. you know, obviously towards the end of the season where he's kind of like breaking bad with his team mm-hmm. and then ultimately gets to a point where now he is on social media basically hinting at constantly the possibility of wanting to be traded, but then also like publicly not standing on that per se. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird place, and this is a weird cap off to it. The biggest thing obviously is like, I wish the best for his wife, his daughter. Like there's people that are very vulnerable in this circumstance, and hope that everything works out there. But yeah, another very uncomfortable place. And it made me think of like, I was at the house a couple weeks ago mm-hmm. and I heard yelling in the hallway. And like, when I hear like domestic dispute that yeah. does not reach to the place of violence, like we are so bad in this country, in our society, of like knowing what to do. And I put my hand up in this as well.
Yeah.
I heard a couple arguing, but it did not seem like it was rising to the level of violence.
Yeah,
but they were arguing loud enough that in my closed door apartment, mm-hmm. I could hear them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do I do in this circumstance?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I want to involve the police in this.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, do I need to step in? Leave it alone? Yeah. No, like, what am I supposed to do here?
I've seen it a bunch of times mm-hmm. just in my neighborhood mm-hmm. back when I was a kid, where it went south when mm-hmm. somebody else step in.
Exactly.
Because yeah. now both of them like, mind your bleeping
yeah,
business.
Yeah, both of them.
And then now they ganging up on you for trying yeah. to step in mm-hmm. or do something.
Yeah.
That's a tough call, man.
It is. But in his case, it's just, you know, and she ended up reportedly filing for divorce as soon as the charges were dropped. So she had those papers ready, or at least the decision or whatever.
Wasn't they just on TikTok doing some stuff?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not surprising. Yeah. Like that's the thing that makes all this uncomfortable.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like we've seen other players like begin acting erratically.
Yeah, I just mm-hmm. seen them like, dang, they happy.
Yeah,
he got one.
Yeah, well.
Is that a PSA? Grass ain't always greener over there.
100%.
Don't keep up with the Joneses. So on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's a little bit early to get into this, but I kind of want to. Because you have quarterbacks who put together a pretty good rookie season last year. And I kind of want to look forward, especially after free agency, which sophomore quarterbacks have been set up to have a slump or just to have a jump? We'll break that down next.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account. The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You heard a big voice, man. Lopez, Reginald Atitula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on this Thursday. Masters still going. Someone else stepping up top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, Stephen Jaeger. Stephen Jaeger, 4 under. Already made the turn, so he's in good shape. Aaron Ray, Joaquin Neiman, Scottie Scheffler already tied for second at 2 under, and we'll keep you updated, of course.
Definitely really early is what's happening there at Augusta National.
Will Zalatoris, he's in third.
Not far, yeah. Morikawa, not far either. So, yeah, some of the names that you know and expect, Jordan Spieth, or as I like to call him, Michael Jordan Spieth, not too far there either. Also, all those guys, 1 under. All right. I kind of wanted to go through this experiment, right? We were looking at free agency, the free agency period, and how people have kind of handled it. And, you know, that was a conversation for CJ Stroud, not locally necessarily, but nationally was, is he having a sophomore slump or what have you? And we got a really, I think we got a pretty good rookie quarterback year last year in the NFL, right? When you talk about Jaden Daniels, obviously won rookie of the year. Caleb Williams was pretty damn good. Even though the circumstances around him were rough. Bo Nix, I mean, that was well above
what
I could have expected. I wrote him off. I'm going to be completely honest. I just thought he was older than the rest of the kids in college.
I thought the Broncos was stupid doing that. I'm like, what is y'all doing?
And apparently we're the ones that are stupid. And Sean Payton smarter than everybody, it seems. So because he had a good season. And then Drake May looks like he might be a real bona fide quarterback. And they went and paired Stephon Diggs with them to see what they can get out of them, right? So now let's do this, especially just, I mean, before the draft, and the draft is going to be important, especially for some of these teams. Like you look at the Patriots, that draft is going to matter a good amount. They might be able to add Drake May, a big-time offensive lineman to protect him. But before we get there, who's set up to have a sophomore slump or a sophomore jump? And so I'll start with the guy in who I imagine is probably the hardest to have a jump off of is Jaden Daniels, who had, I mean, a phenomenal season. They go to the playoffs. Hell, they go to the conference championship game with a really well put together team around him, and his play was phenomenal. I don't think he ever really looked like a rookie in that season. Do you go slump or do you go jump?
Ooh, that's a jump all the way.
Really?
Yeah. I think
that's a lot.
He didn't even say push.
Yeah. Well, okay, so maybe they won't go to the conference final. I'm talking about his play.
No, of course. That's, of course, what we're talking about.
I'm talking about his play.
But his play was incredibly high for a rookie.
They're just equipping him, man. They're doing everything they possibly can.
It's because they went and got Laremy Tunsil, huh?
They got Tunsil. They got others.
He's like, they got Laremy Tunsil. It's nothing but up from here.
Yeah. No, look, the Commanders are doing everything they can. They're doing what we think and have seen the Texans try to do here.
Yeah.
And you got this, dude. Okay, let's go.
But, the thing that I'm ultimately bouncing back to is, like, how much room do you have? Ultimately, that's the question I'm asking here. How much room does he have to continue to do
you,
be
I'm
even
sensing
better?
You think it might be a little step back.
Man, development's not linear, and I think that you get to he was phenomenal. I think that you get to a point where teams take the offseason and have an opportunity to say, hey, how do we then make this more difficult on him? Does he get the CJ Stroud treatment where, all right, we believe so strongly in you? Because that was the comparison in his rookie year. Oh, man, he's doing the CJ Stroud thing the year after CJ Stroud. C.J. Stroud last year, teams decided, all right, no more of that fun stuff over the top. We're taking that away and we're making you do the really hard, like the things that we make really good quarterbacks do, we're making you do that. We saw that kind of hamper him in some ways. Obviously, the bigger hindrance was the offensive line. But I do wonder if that happens to where people are having a similar conversation that they had with C.J., even if they don't fully understand that, hey, some of this is circumstantial rather than him as a dude.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought about. I thought about CJ and his step. I don't want to call it a step back, but kind of a down year last year. But in the same sentence, I think they got a better offensive coordinator in Washington.
With Cliff Kingsbury?
Compared to what was Bobby Slowick. So maybe he won't take a big step back, but maybe he'd be a little more consistent.
I think what's helping him more so is They're really helping the defense. They've made some. Now we can talk about Laremy Tunsil, but they've made some moves to bolster the defense. In other words, okay, now we know what we have. The offense, like we mentioned, you know, Tunsil, but also they've added some other things. Obviously, the draft is about to happen, but they're focusing on the defense. So they're saying, we got a squad. Let's make sure it's a whole squad.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The first quarterback taken last year in the draft, Caleb Williams. Slump or jump?
It's got to be a jump, doesn't it? Everything they're trying to do around him, too.
It does feel like it.
Yeah.
Because that's another circumstance where, Figgy, you talk about coordinator. Ooh, Shane Waldron, man.
Yeah.
Not really loving what they were doing last year. And it seems like you said, they ported in an entire interior of the offensive line. They're giving him more talent. Seems like they're going to really focus on. Mm-hmm. That's the objective of Ben Johnson coming in, is I'm going to make you the best version of yourself. That's why you hire that dude. So it does feel like if it is a slump, we got real questions about Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. And so I'm leaning on jump for sure.
Yeah, and I think we do have some questions about Caleb Williams right now, but they're doing everything they can, including the head coach.
All right, Bo Nix.
That's a tough one to me.
Right?
That's a really tough one to me.
It gets to a tough place because it feels like they'd done a lot of like maxing out what the possibility was for him, but he rose to the standard. And I think one of the interesting things with a Sean Payton offense is that it really is built to be, if you can do these things that I ask you to do, your life should be good. Like now, he's asking tough things of his quarterbacks. Like we saw that with his tenure with Drew Brees. Like you need to be a certain type of quarterback to be able to, and not just a certain type of quarterback in your skill set, but a certain type of quarterback in your acumen and being able to understand what we're going for, being able to execute it to a certain degree. Bo Nix has demonstrated himself to at least be some level of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens if you can then not just be implementing this in year one, but what happens if you're starting to build upon this and maybe add some talent to what you're executing
the
here?
The talent would help. The more experience would help. But I think he's a lot closer to his ceiling than either of the first two that we talked
about. Agreed.
Right? So that's why I would, if I had to pick one or the other, I would say maybe a slump.
Okay.
Yeah, I would probably say a slump too. Mm-hmm. And I know I keep bringing it up every year, but that's a tough division, man. Mm-hmm.
It is.
So I can see him being on the downside a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Drake May.
Another tough one, but I think they're going to have a lot of resources.
You think this is tough?
Yeah, I think. I don't exactly. Do you know what Drake May even is at this point?
A big, strong quarterback who has some mobility and had no real talent around him, and now they're going to put talent around him.
And draft picks.
Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm. Buddy, I'm buying this stock.
Are you?
I think it's a jump here for Drake May, and maybe I'm just buying the hype, but it does seem like when we saw him play, like when the Texans went to New England early on in the season, it was like, okay, I think there's a little something here. And it just showed more and more as the season went along. In what, like, he is the rose that grows through the concrete, right? Like, he looked pretty good in a circumstance that's not really advantageous for it. I think as you give him more fertile of a circumstance with the team, I think he's going to continue to produce there.
Well, they have the resources. They have the, obviously a coach, and we'll see how they play it. I just don't know if I've seen enough yet. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the question that I wanted to ask is actually, because those are the guys that were starters. Those were the four that starters. How do you feel about the two guys that were drafted last year that now are going to get real opportunities to do more? And that is Michael Penix Jr. and J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. I've liked a lot, since before he was drafted. But I do think it's asking a lot. And there are still some questions at the quarterback position there, or at least some pressure.
Really?
On the quarterback position there. There's some pressure for him to live up to being the guy, And I just don't trust the Falcons that much either.
Well, I mean, you can always – if you circle back to round two, I don't trust the Falcons,
you're going
to
be right more often than not.
Yeah, it's like I get what you're doing there.
Yeah.
It felt like the Falcons had so many, like, talented players in Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, that they have not, like, they still have not utilized to the maximum potential. And one of the things that was tough with Kirk Cousins is that they had a lot of pressure on him. And so I'm interested to see what that looks like. I know it's not really a slump or jump perspective, but if I was going to be like more optimistic than pessimistic, or more pessimistic than optimistic, I'm more optimistic on Michael Penix Jr.
I love him. I really love his game.
And more importantly,
I think they're asking a lot.
They seem to love him.
They seem to love him.
Like, of course,
to make that decision alone.
Yeah. But I mean, that decision, the decision that you're talking about is to
go with him.
Have him go with him and not, sit Kirk Cousins or move on from Kirk Cousins. That one was actually not that tough of a decision considering how poorly Kirk Cousins looked or played rather, and then the injury circumstance that maybe factored in or maybe didn't. Regardless, it didn't allow him to be useful for the team. That felt like an obvious, you got to go here to this place. But also, I mean, if they felt so strongly about Michael Penix Jr. that they got to a place where, like, we gave him big money to Kirk Cousins, but we see this dude and we think he's our
just
guy.
Better.
It feels like that's the one
drafting
that
him
through.
That early.
Yeah, 100%. And drafting him.
The most interesting one to me is J.J. McCarthy.
Me too.
Because that was a Minnesota Vikings team that, one, Kevin O'Connell does a fantastic job scheming up offense, one. But you had Sam Darnold there who played well above what I think a lot of people believed his capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
But he showed a little, the pumpkin turned back a little bit to a pumpkin at the very end of the season. And he's no longer there. You decided not be the team that gave him big money, and you're going to go with your young guy. Are you optimistic? More optimistic or more pessimistic about now bringing in J.J. McCarthy? Mind you, a quarterback prospect that wasn't beloved when he was drafted as well. Like, this was already a thing where people were kind of waiting and seeing. Mm-hmm. And now you're dropping him into a context of a Vikings team that has some higher expectations because of a 14-win season.
Keep in mind, they're also saying that he's not penciled in as the starter, even though that's total.
Correct.
You know what? I'm optimistic. I am optimistic. I mean, he's already set up, presuming there's not any big dropbacks, from other, key positions, namely the defense. Certainly the offensive line has to get better. But I'm actually optimistic on J.J. McCarthy. What does that mean? Is he going to have that type of start like Sam Darnold had? Probably not, as essentially a rookie. But I think he's going to have a really good year.
Funny enough, like I'm more optimistic, and it's not because of J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I was low on J.J. McCarthy coming out of Michigan. I am just like, yo, that coordinator looks like he can
and him
do
too.
This.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he could do this in a real way.
No, that's the major part, man. Yeah. I feel like he could do something with anybody.
Yeah,
that's what if you can do some things. I do need to give Sam Darnold his respect. Like, he did play well in the system. He did the things that was necessary. I think J.J. McCarthy is capable of just like, hey, can you paint by numbers in the way that this coordinator will set up for you?
100%.
And you will be able to be fine. I'm not going to say that he's going to be great, but you'll be able to be fine. And I think that meets the standard of more optimistic than pessimistic. All right, a little bit of slump or jump here for the sophomore quarter. I want to revisit that maybe later once we see what the teams are looking like in training camp. But, I thought that was an interesting exercise to undertake. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just reminding you that today we're giving away a pair of tickets to see comedian Brian Regan at the Bayou Music Center on December 4th. That'll happen in the 1 p.m. hour that we'll give those away. So keep it locked right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including another Masters update. But also, are you really broken up about the name change on the building that the Astros play in? We can get you a little bit of your memorabilia off that. We'll tell you what's up with that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'. Brought to you by the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands Country Club, May 2nd through 4th.
There you go. Let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. After all that fun, let's bring it back down to, or I don't know, I feel like we've gotten to a place with the Astros. We kind of understand, but it was still heartbreaking to see this happen.
That's the ball game.
Ugh.
Brady tried to spin a slider in there, and he left it up, and the Mariners score 4 in the 8th, and then a Rosarena literally walks it off with a walk in the 9th.
All right, so yes. A walk-off walk after a four-run.
The worst walk-off there is.
That's what I was about to ask. Like, is that the worst way to lose a baseball game? What's the worst way to lose a game, period, in sports? 713-572-4610. I'm kind of interested. Is that the worst way to lose a baseball game?
Yes, at least the first one that comes to mind. Even an error, sometimes the ball's hard hit, whatever, trying to make a play. You're walking a dude. And by the way, he threw a slider. Dude's got a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. Just go with your best pitch. Challenge him, try to make it happen that way. That was a bad night, man.
I think the worst way to lose a game wasn't that game yesterday.
What is
but it?
It
did happen yesterday.
Oh,
do we have the audio? Is that a mixtape special?
No, we could do it right now.
All right.
That's the worst way to lose a game.
You're right,
man.
But it doesn't happen a lot.
It's classic White Sox way to lose a game.
All right, so let me see if I could set this up properly because I got to remember all the people involved. Oh, my God. All right, so this is White Sox Guardians, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I want to say the bases were loaded. with two outs,
and it was
and they were down by two.
Yeah,
and I gotta see if I can find the parties involved, but it's a hit. There's good contact.
It was a hit. Somebody was coming around from
tied ball game,
from
baby.
Somebody's coming from second.
Tied ball home. Game.
Yeah, it would have been a tie ball game.
Oh, what happened?
It would have been a tie ball game, but then this happens.
It all comes down to Miguel Vargas. Swings at the first one. It gets through to left field. One comes in, and we might have an injury. Oh, no. Talkman comes up and can't score. He just came off of a hamstring tweak off the IL a couple days ago.
Well, he's back on
and
it.
And he was unable to get home as he rounded the bag at third, started limping.
Man, that was the worst.
Brutal.
Man. The game would have been tied.
Yeah.
And they probably could have won the game.
Mm-hmm. Brutal.
Man.
Pulled a hammy coming down, rounding third.
Yep.
Went through the whole game,
mm-hmm.
pulled a hammy, the same hammy that he had just come back with. Off of. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, dog.
He was out by a mile, too. Like, he didn't even try. He came up limp.
Oh, he knew it. He just went to his knees.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man.
So, okay.
There's that.
That doesn't happen a lot, but that would be the worst way to lose.
713 said the national championship game.
Mm.
It was the worst way to lose.
That just happened this week.
Right. Damn, why are there so many of these recently?
Let's go there since we're kind of in a miserable state right now.
I don't like that. I don't like that we're steering into the skid right now.
You know what?
I really
the
don't.
National championship, that might be the worst way to lose a game. Just not getting
the ball
a shot
just
off.
Just sitting
at
there
all.
Bouncing and dribbling.
You didn't
and
even
dribbling.
Get a shot off, man.
You know, if only we had audio of the Spanish call of this game. Because if
please be better, because usually the Spanish call makes me feel better.
It was good. It was really good. He even was talking about, oh, he can't touch it. You'll hear it. You know Spanish.
Now that's you're giving me a lot of credit.
But he even was saying, oh, he can't touch the ball. In Spanish, it was a really good Spanish call until the very end.
Lo va a esperar Richard. Cruza la media cancha. 14 segundos por jugar. El campeonato en juego para los Cougars. La tiene Yusan por la derecha. Recogió el drible y ahora le quedan 7 segundos. 5. Ahora crash. ¡Ay, ay, ay! Caminó, no puede tocar la pelota. Y la va a recuperar, la va a robar con dos. Y todo ha terminado. Houston, you have a problem.
Oh, oh no. Now we go speak Spanish, dog.
Oh, no.
Campeones Universitario por tercera ocasión en.
But now we speak Spanish. Now we speak in English.
That was a better call in English, to be honest.
It was a good call. But
until the very end.
God. What a jerk. So you're going to break your Spanish out, or are you going to break away from Spanish to say that?
To say that.
I got English for you right here. You jerk.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith in the finals. They didn't even. Wait, that game went to overtime and then they lost it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he could have won up and took the lead.
Right.
I want to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, took the lead. We tried to run out the clock like an idiot.
Worst way to lose a game, last second Hail Mary.
Yeah, but you know, you kind of feel like that might happen, you
that,
know.
That Hail Mary Chicago did. I want to say it was Chicago, right? Or against Chicago last season.
Yeah. When Tyreek Stevenson was over on the sideline talking to the
so much, man.
He's like, oh, I got to get back in this play.
Oh, that's right. We still playing. My bad.
We got this. Oh, it caught the ball on you.
Yeah. Oh, kick six is a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the missed field goal, 109-yard return. That's tough.
We said baseball.
Well, no, I mean, I opened it up.
I know, but yeah. Like baseball outside God, of the sucks. Pulled hammy, maybe a walk.
I'm with you there. That's the worst way to lose.
Maybe bases loaded balk if you don't even get the pitch.
Or a balk.
Maybe that's it. That's a good one that comes in. But, unfortunately, Brian Abreu put up one of those and a loss for the Astros. They're back in action tomorrow against the Angels back at now Daikin Park. Your expected pitchers are Ronel Blanco on Friday. Gusto is going to be your they're going to stretch him out to be your starter on Saturday. I'm super excited for that because he's been pretty good when he's had the opportunity. But it's a different animal when now you have to stretch out and see if we can get like five out of you, right? Like I think it looks different there. And then Hayden Wesneski will get game three on Sunday. And I said it is Daikin Park. However, if you want to relive the feeling of Minute Maid Park, it seems like there's an opportunity for you. The Astros are auctioning off signs from Minute Maid Park, quote unquote, on the team's online auction site.
Mm-hmm.
So they opened up, I think it opened up yesterday in the morning.
It's going to go, I think, till the 27th.
It does. It goes through the 27th. So if you're one of those people like these fellas who are like, oh, it'll never be Daikin Park. It's always Minute Maid Park. Go ahead and get you some stuff by going and seeing if you can just win some memorabilia.
Or just memorabilia from the World Championships.
You can get a collection of oranges from from the train.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do wonder.
It's not the big oranges, I don't think.
Yeah, but even then, like, is there something that distinguishes them as oranges? Am I just going to have that as a fruit bowl? In a fruit bowl in my house, and people are like, oh, can I get an orange? Like, no, you can't have one of those. Those ones is from Minute Maid Park. You know what I mean? Like, is there going to be something specific that denotes?
Well, you got to display it right.
That this is something special. Yeah.
Right now, the thing that's being bid on the highest, again, it goes for another 2 weeks and change, is the logo sign from the Union Station atrium. It's going right now at $2,550.
Yeah, and the large ballpark signs, like the one on Hamilton Street and Crawford Street, they're selling letter combinations. Clearly, they're not selling the big thing, but you can get the MI, you can get the NU, you can get, you know, you give them, you get the point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you can get, wow. It says the approximate dimensions of the two M letters that are from Hamilton Street, 102 inches by 73 inches.
Ooh,
that's a pretty solid.
Big.
Like, you're going to have a TV-sized M in your house.
Be good for a man cave on a wall.
Just a giant M. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, that's something that you can do if you are so inclined. Some other things that are popping. Did you see what happened in Dallas yesterday?
How could you not? That was a tap in for sure. You had to check on that one because it was everything we thought it would be and more.
Luka Doncic, now the Lakers, returning to his former home with the Dallas Mavericks. And we were talking about this yesterday. The Mavs did the thing where they had all the seats covered in thank you for everything shirts, but written in Luka's native Slovenian. And they did a tribute video. And I'm not going to lie. First and foremost, I was like, oh, okay, so we're showing the tribute video on the national broadcast. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then I watched the video and I was like, this video would be incredible if not for, you know, the fact that they traded him for no good reason and talked crazy about
it. It
would have
been good if he was, like, retired.
Yeah.
And, you know, sitting in the stands with his family and something like that where, like, I remember this back in the day.
Or late in his career, moved to another team, comes back, you know, like the Astros have done.
Like his last run.
You know, with some player. Yeah, like his last run. Man, the thing that got me is not only the chanting, which got to a fever pitch.
For good reason.
Of Fire Nico. And that dude is just standing there, just like, looks like he's looking at death.
Well, I mean, what's he supposed to do?
I mean,
at that point. But you made your bed. You got to lay in it.
But it was a home game.
Yes, for the Lakers.
It was a home game for the Lakers.
There's a point in time where, you know, during a timeout or something, you have the Lakers standing in front of their bench, and they're hyping up the crowd, and the crowd is going with them. Like, they were killing them.
And those were Mavericks fans.
Well, they were. Yeah. Up until they might have been Luka fans at this point.
Yeah, the crazy part is whenever Luka touched the ball, the crowd started cheering.
Yeah.
And it's usually the opposite. Yeah. Whenever somebody come back to their old spot, they just boo them whenever they touch the ball. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Speaking of worse, like, that's got to be the worst, like, trade in sports history. And, like, that organization, man, I don't think they're ever winning them folks back. Like, not as currently constituted.
No.
Like,
it'll be a long, long time.
Yeah, nah, you might have to get rid of it.
Do you hear how loud do you have it? How loud the Fire Nico chants were at the end? It was incredible. Dude, that's 17,000 people. All of them. And he's standing right there in the middle.
Yep.
Serious question. How do you keep him?
I was wondering.
How do you keep him?
Well, this is the tough part. I think even if you fire him, you're going to have a hard time because the ownership has gotten out and said crazy things in the time period.
Yeah.
In the intervening time period. So, like, it's going to take a large change from that organization for them folks to you know, agree with them, which sucks to suck, I guess. Like, I just that is a rough place to be. And I, you know who I felt worst for in that moment was the Mavs players who were just out there like, look, I'm doing what I can. And they were out here getting cooked by a dude whose heart didn't look like he was in it. Like, Luka Doncic is a dude who will talk. Like, he'll talk to the fans. We saw him get attacked this weekend for talking back to the fans, and he'll show his emotion. He gave them a smooth 50 points in a way that looked like he didn't want to do it. He looked like he was putting down his dog.
Sorry, I got to make this. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
he looked like Nino Brown when he's about to put down G Money.
Yeah, man.
It was wild.
That tear coming down as he shot that shot.
That was wild. So what a thing that happened yesterday. A surreal thing to see in sports. And a reminder, man, like, whew, I'm so happy to be where you are with this Rockets team where all of their moves have been validated, man.
Yeah.
They look incredible. They're going to the playoffs. They have what is now a pick that has the ninth best chance of moving up into those upper echelons of the NFL or NBA draft, right?
Yeah.
It's guaranteed to be in the draft lottery now. Man, the Rockets are in a great place, a lot of great talented players, and you're even competing with when you don't play your starters, right?
Yeah.
Like that's where the Rockets are, so that's a good space to be in. And they will be facing off against those Lakers tomorrow, correct?
Mm-hmm.
On Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the season continues on, a couple games left, and then they off to the playoffs for the Rockets and the rest of the NBA. Some other people weighing in on various terrible ways to lose. Routine base hit, rolling under an outfielder's glove to score the game-winning run. Losing a drop strike three and throwing error.
Oh, yeah.
Losing a game by throwing a pick at the 1 yard line on the final play when you had Marshawn Lynch. You could have run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hasselbeck versus the Packers. Oh, the Chris Webber timeout?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a bad way to lose,
boy.
Timeout you don't have.
Why do we do sports? Because sports does this to us. Like, there's the incredible moments, but there's so many moments where sports is just like, hey, how about you want to be invested in this thing and then you lose in a very comical way?
We had a texter just yesterday, maybe it was the day before. Said his wife told him as they went to bed after the UH game, I hate sports.
That's right. Yeah.
I hate sports.
It's the greatest thing, but it's also the dumbest thing. I don't know why we do it, but also it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun. Somebody said wife said no, it won't fit in my apartment, speaking of the Minute Maid signs.
Yeah, man.
Fair enough.
Go for it.
Someone else mentioned that the buying a sign from Minute Maid Park is good, but stealing signs is better. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
I feel like
good luck with that one.
We got to watch you. Yeah. You're out here wilding. Said they still have the opening day giveaway baseball from the first game from Enron Field still in its original package.
I do, too.
Mm. Do you really?
You've seen it. It's in the cellophane, whatever it is, sitting on my right by my desk. Enron Field.
Is it bad that anytime I see that Enron logo, I can't like feel the excitement of Enron Field?
No, that's not bad.
I just think of all the badness.
Yeah.
That's all I think of.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, there is 2 weeks to the day till we get the NFL draft going. And with that being the case, what's your pet cat? What's the player that you're just like, this is my guy? I ride for my guy. We'll talk about that and more next.